A fire bomber is down in Utah. An Epic LT ditches in the Columbia River. And BRS reports save number 229. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 27th, 2009. We're sorry to report a P-2V Neptune went down in Utah near Stockton Pass in the Ochre Mountains Saturday morning. Heavy fog was reported along the route. The plane was en route from Missoula, Montana to Alamogordo, New Mexico, with a full load of fire retardant and three crew members on board. There were no survivors when, according to local reports, the plane failed to negotiate a mountain pass and hit terrain. There was no distress call prior to impact. The Tooele County Sheriff's Office has the pilot as 66-year-old Tom Risk of Littleton, Colorado. The other two crew members were 59-year-old Mike Flynn of Alamogordo and 32-year-old Brian Buss of Alberton, Montana. All three were employed by Neptune Aviation of Missoula, Montana. The plane was reportedly on its way to southern New Mexico to fight a partially contained 19,000-acre wildfire. Watch for further updates and get more details on the plane at aero-news.net. ANN is monitoring the details of a Friday afternoon accident in which an Epic LT experimental turboprop reportedly lost power at 8,000 feet and was successfully ditched in the Columbia River near Astoria, Oregon. The incident happened about 4:40 p.m. Pacific time. Local Coast Guard and law enforcement efforts recovered both people on board before the plane sank. Both occupants are reported in good condition with no life-threatening injuries. The Epic LT, serial number 25, was en route to Boeing Field from Astoria when the flameout occurred. The pilot was identified as Bill Henningsgard, and his passenger was said to be his mother and former Astoria Mayor Edith Henningsgard. The pilot and his plane are featured on the company's website, along with an anecdote claiming a top ground speed of over 516 miles per hour on one recent flight. The Epic LT is a turboprop normally configured for six seats and is sold as a kit for assembly as an amateur-built experimental under the FAA's 51% rule. Aircraft Investor Resources, Epic's parent company, has been controversial for its aggressive use of the amateur-built rules and its philosophy of introducing complex turboprops and jets as experimentals completed in a factory build center. As ANN reported, in November of 2005, following an audit of the build process and documentation, the Epic LT was signed off by the FAA as meeting the intent of the amateur-built rules and added to the 51% list. We'll have more details on Friday's accident as they become available. BRS is reporting save number 229 for its whole airframe ballistic recovery parachute system. The latest save involved a Challenger 2 experimental light sport aircraft a week ago today. The 35-year-old pilot, Jared Stevenson of Kent, Washington, said he discovered he'd lost pitch control, was not willing to risk a landing attempt under those circumstances, and deployed the chute while descending through about 1,800. The 960-pound aircraft reportedly landed in the front yard of a home in Auburn, Washington, damaging only the landing gear and leaving the pilot with only bruises. Stevenson commented, quote, "If the parachute wasn't on there, I absolutely would not be here. This is a perfect example of why people need extra safety equipment, such as aircraft parachutes, when they fly," unquote. BRS has furnished more than 30,000 airframe parachute systems to aircraft owners since 1981. Up next on ANN, a caravan on steroids gets an STC. Garmin offers a big spring price break on the G600. And Cessna 185 owners have two new prop choices. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 27th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The Cessna Caravan has been around for almost 25 years, and with a worldwide fleet of 1,500 planes with flight time totaling over 8 million hours, the type has become an undeniable success. But, like many of us have done over the past 25 years, the Caravan has put on a few pounds. The original Pratt & Whitney turboprop power plant has been upgraded from 600 to 675 horsepower over that same period, but high, hot missions to compromised strips flown by many owners has left a market for further upgrades. The latest to gain an STC is Texas Turbine Conversions, which offers 900 shaft horsepower from a Honeywell TPE-331-12JR with a 110-inch Hartzell four-blade prop. The result is described as a Caravan on steroids. Nominal takeoff drops from 1,400 feet to just over 1,000. Climb improves by 60% at sea level and doubles at 10,000 feet. All this with lower noise in most flight phases, lower specific fuel consumption, and TBO nearly doubled from 3,600 to 7,000 hours. When accounting for the trade-in value of the core and projected overhaul costs of the original power plant, the upgrade will pencil out nicely for many operators. Find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. And watch for our interview with Bobby and Kim Bishop of Texas Turbine Conversions in the near future at aero-tv.net. When economic conditions cause owners to choose upgrading their aircraft over replacing them, glass avionics is often on the wish list. Garmin is making the idea almost irresistible with a rebate program on retrofits of its G600. The $5,000 G600 rebate is on now through June 30th. It may also be combined with an ongoing Garmin incentive program that offers up to an additional $4,000 in rebates, for a total of up to $9,000 off. The G600 is Garmin's all-glass retrofit suite, FAA-approved for installation on over 785 aircraft, and approved for aircraft under 5,700 kilograms in Europe. Find more details on the offer and the G600 itself at Garmin.com. If you fly your Cessna 185 on floats or into tight spots, Hartzell says it has your next prop. The metal three-blade top prop for the 185 can be had in STC'd versions of 84 or 86-inch diameter and claims an improvement of 8.2% in 0 to 60 knots acceleration times at 2,700 RPM compared to the 80-inch version spun at 2,850. Top prop program manager Mike Trudeau explained the difference between the two new props. Quote, "The new 86-inch propellers provide the ultimate in optimized takeoff performance, with limitations on continuous operation between 2,250 and 2,450 RPM, while the 84-inch will appeal to those who want exceptional takeoff performance without cruise RPM restrictions. In all cases, whether they are 80 inches, 84 inches, or 86 inches, Hartzell top props offer improvements over the propellers initially installed at the Cessna factory," unquote. Still ahead, Sturgill is back at work in the private sector. WeatherWorks has a new PC-based weather suite. And Lycoming's alternative fuels seminar comes to Oshkosh. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 27th. I'm Paul Plack. Robert Sturgill, widely considered a well-qualified Bush nominee to head the FAA following Marion Blakey's departure as administrator, found himself in limbo when politics scuttled his Senate confirmation for over a year. Now, as a new administration in Washington has named its own people to head the agency, Sturgill has left government service to take a position with Rockwell Collins. His new title is Senior VP of Washington Operations. He replaces Woody Hogle, who's now going to be leading Rockwell's international operations. CEO Clay Jones said of Sturgill, quote, "Bobby's extensive experience and strong working relationships in Washington, D.C., as well as the aerospace and defense industry, will help ensure we're well-positioned to provide perspective and insight regarding policy and legislation important to our business," unquote. Back in the day, Sturgill was a naval aviator, retiring with the rank of commander, and is a former Top Gun instructor. WeatherWorks has introduced a new suite of 22 weather products accessible from any wired or wireless internet connection. WeatherWorks Online runs on 800 MHz or faster, Pentium class or better, PC desktops, notebooks, or tablets, and offers high-resolution NEXRAD radar coverage, winds aloft, METARs, lightning, and more for the U.S. and Canada. The application itself is free for the download at www.wxworx.com. The data subscription costs $25 a month if paid monthly, or $20 a month if prepaid for a year. And finally, at Aero Friedrichshafen earlier this month, Lycoming offered a program titled Lycoming Engines, Perspective of the Piston Aviation Fuel Supply. Michael Kraft, VP of Research, Design, and Engineering, was the presenter, and the program's goal was to educate piston aircraft owners about the subtleties involved in properly evaluating alternative fuels. Fine, you say, you couldn't be there. Well, cheer up. Lycoming promises a similar program this year at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. That's on July 27th through August 2nd. Kraft explains, quote, "As we design new products that customers want to buy, we think it's important for customers to be educated about the issues we face as manufacturers. Explaining to customers the benefits and drawbacks of potential fuel alternatives will help them make more informed decisions about where to spend their money," unquote. While the drumbeat for alternative piston aviation fuels has grown louder the past few years, it's worth noting that the aforementioned Lycoming perspective on that subject dates back to an STC approving the use of certain unleaded fuels in more than 30 Lycoming engines. That was in 1995. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us when we should own and when we should rent and offers some tips for arriving safely at this summer's fly-in breakfasts. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.